Let us pray. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. What defines you? How do you find your identity? Who do you think you are? Who tells you who you are? And who should you believe? Should only you define who you are? Especially since the scriptures say that our hearts are desperately sick. Who can understand it? Can we trust ourselves? Can we trust those phrases that our rotten brains so often put on repeat, driving us even to despair? Well, what defined John? How did he find his identity? He had many options from many sources. He would have his voices from the past, his friends and family. There's the voices of the establishment rulers, the Pharisees, who wanted to set the standards of everyone else, who everyone else is, so that they could keep especially their lofty positions with their identity of Pharisee. There's also that inside heart and mind of John himself. And finally, there's God himself and the testimony of his prophets who would define him. Taking these one at a time, the voices of friends and family, they're very trustworthy voices. They have a natural, biological, even fourth commandment incentive to have the best in mind for you, to declare to you who you are. Yet, even the broader family of Jesus once tried to seize him and stop Jesus' preaching by force, telling Jesus that he's just out of his mind. And we get the same kind of feeling here with John. That is, it is quite likely John's own family heritage, the priests and the Levites, is who the Pharisees recruited to go to John, to feel out who he is with what he's doing, why he's acting so weird, dressing in camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, or the strangest thing of all, the thing that we don't like the most, calling people to repentance, especially those authorities, and even calling the authorities names like brood of vipers. What are you doing, John? Don't you know how this makes us look? They might even come after us if you don't stop, unless you have a reason. So what is your reason, John? What defines you? So family and friends, they're okay as ones to help identify us. It's good for parents to declare to their children, you are beautiful in the sight of God, in the sight of me. But they also have their weaknesses. Now what about the establishment rulers, the Pharisees in John's day? That one's an easy one. They're out. And John himself, his own heart and mind defining himself? Well, he would have also known that word of Jeremiah, how the heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? And it was later on in time, or in our time, last week, that we read about John in prison, where he had that moment of weakness of listening to his own heart too much. And he had doubt about whether that Christ is truly the Christ. Our own feelings, our own gut thinking truly is not to be trusted in the sinful condition. So that leaves one and final option. In this early part of John's ministry, we hear how John confessed and did not deny, but confessed what God had declared to him about who he is. He confessed his identity. Crystal clear. I am not the Christ. I am not the I am. I am made by the I am, redeemed by the I am, sanctified by the I am, but I am not the I am. The one who would bring about the hope of all Israel, even to me, John, is the one coming after me, not me. I'm defined actually here by what I'm not. I am not the Christ. I must decrease while he increases. Who do I think I am? I have no worldly authority. I, John, don't even have churchly authority to plant a synagogue. The only authority I have is to be a voice in this wilderness to call to repentance any who dare to come out to this wilderness to prepare hearts and minds to receive a new washing from the Messiah to come. And indeed, in these waters, gain the gift of forgiveness as a true free gift. So John is defined by the Lord. He is a witness to testify and point away from himself and instead to point towards the coming one greater than he, the Lamb of God, whose sandals he's not even worthy to untie. Secretly, the establishment, those Pharisees, they probably, well, they had a glimmer of hope that John, in fact, would be the Messiah, their kind of Messiah, that is, the one who would take names and a charismatic zeal and military might to overthrow those Roman occupiers. No, this wouldn't be who the Christ is, and it most certainly isn't John. John, defined by the Lord to be a humble, lowly figure, and he was content in this. He wanted nothing more than to play his role in the story of salvation. That role to point to the sinner with the law and then point to the Christ as the solution to the law and then to get out of the way and let Jesus do his ministry. The greatness of John was that contentment of fitting in precisely where the Lord would have him. In the womb of his elderly mother, in the wilderness, in the Jordan, in the prison, on a platter was to be his path. And this especially is the path of subordination. That is, he in his sinful nature had every egotistical desire that you and I have to be great. But he suppressed that desire so that Jesus would have all the glory and himself the benefits of Jesus' glory and himself all of the comfort. He resisted the allure of gluttony, eating a wilderness diet, and for that, the establishment considered him demon-possessed. He's just another zealot making things up and hoping to gain a following. But John didn't care what they thought of him. He knew he was right where God would have him, and that at the proper time, God would exalt him. Jesus even helping his reputation when John's in prison, speaking so highly of him, greatest man born of woman. John is a marvel and a model for us. He didn't care what people thought of him, whether he would only have 7 followers saved with him on this ark of repentance through that Jordan baptismal floodwaters, or whether anybody at all would respect him. His identity came purely from the Lord and his word. He didn't assume that God approved of everything that he did, no. He heard that literal voice of God speaking to him. That you, John, are the fulfillment of Isaiah. You are only a voice. That's it. And John echoed the Holy Mother of Jesus, let it be to me according to your word. He knew he didn't have to be great in himself because his identity is wrapped up in his place, subordinate underneath Jesus. A model for us. So who do you, dear saints, think that you are? For one, I already gave you here a title, saints, holy ones. That is, it doesn't matter who you think you are in your own mind. Don't trust your sick heart. Don't trust your depraved mind. Cling instead to what matters, what the Lord says you are, what his word says you are. And no, he doesn't speak to you precisely the same way that he spoke to John. He spoke directly, immediately to John in an audible voice as the prophets would have. No, that's not the way that we have God speaking to us. And if you indeed have had that belief, perhaps a strong premonition feeling that you think maybe is God speaking to you, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, pointing to Jesus. And truly, if you're a prophet, let's see some of your prophecies come true, and then we'll talk. But no, you still have God speaking to you, but mediately, that is, through means, not directly, but through mediators, through prophets, through apostles, even the mediator, Jesus. Through the scriptures, God speaks to you no less than he spoke to John, just differently. God, in fact, through the scriptures, is defining you no less than he defined John. So who are we together in the people of God as the scriptures speak of us? Well, we'll get to that, but first, what does the world say about us? What does the establishment, the legacy media even, come and tempt you to think about yourself? Are you the Christ? No, not the Christ. Are you a woman trapped in a man's body? Confess and do not deny, but confess you are not. Are you oppressed or oppressor? Trick question, Pharisee, get behind me, Satan. False dichotomy. Well, have you gone viral? Have you reached the pinnacle of the number of likes on each of your posts? Have you eclipsed the number of YouTube subscribers to where you have finally made it? I have not, I am not, and it doesn't matter. Well, are you a Jew or a Greek, pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, slave or free, the addicted or the dealer, male, female, or non-binary? Which is it? We need to give answer to everyone who determines whether or not you get a job, whether you keep your job, whether you can be trusted. We need to give answer to all of your friends wondering whether to invite you on their next outing. Identity has a big stake. So, what do you say about yourself? Well, here's what God would have you reply to the world. I am not the Christ. I am in Christ. I am subordinate to Christ. I am baptized, washed. I am an offspring of Abraham, not by ethnicity, but by faith in the Son of Abraham, the offspring who would be a blessing to all goyim, all Gentiles, all nations. For you, even, the world is who the Christ came for. I confess and do not deny, but confess. I am not defined by my rebellion against my Creator, by making me male, or for you, female, perhaps. I am washed, I am sanctified, I am justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I'm not meant for sexual immorality. Porneia, as that word comes across literally in the Greek. No, I'm meant for the Lord. I'm not meant for approval from society. I'm meant for the Lord, and the Lord meant for me. God defines me. He doesn't define me how I want him to define me. That is, in my stubbornness, I might say, only God can judge me, but I'm not going to actually listen to his words about how he's judging. No, the desires of my flesh, they want God to approve of everything that I do by nature, by sinful nature. But the desires of my spirit, by my baptism, are against the desires of my flesh. The desires of my spirit is that I'm approved according to his word, according to his accusing law, according to his forgiving gospel. I am God's dear child. He's not angry at me, but delights in me. He hits the like button on my life, not on account of all the good that he sees me do, for there he would also see the evil in my heart. No, he hits that proverbial like button on my life because he sees Christ in me, the one in whom he truly hearts, truly loves. He sees my baptismal garment. He sees the Holy Spirit advocating for me in the heavens. He sees the blood of the Lamb of God taking away all my sin. God be praised. Who are you? You are a Christian. You have God's name written on your heart. He has your name written on his heart in his book of life. Your sin has been assumed and done away with. He no longer looks at your sins nor denies your prayers because of them. He loves you, the unlovely. He loves the loveless, but ultimately keeps no record of the sins for those who repent, believe, and are baptized. So we can confess and not deny, but confess that we're not the Christ. We don't need an ego. And this is good. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and let him exalt you, and he will. Follow his path for you where he has placed you with the people whom he has given you to love and to be loved. Take up your crosses that he has given you to be subordinate under and to live within that baptismal treasure, to learn by that baptism, to rejoice in that baptism, to endure to the end so that you and us and all the company of heaven would say, and together we would say to one another and we would hear from our Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. In Jesus' name, amen.